Hrani Ring's saga is a gripping tale rooted in the rich cultural tapestry of Norse tradition. Originating from the land of fire and ice, the saga weaves together themes of bravery, honor, destiny, and the quintessential Nordic concept of drengskapur, or honor and morality. In this modernized version of the saga, our protagonist Hrani bravely battles against the odds, earning a reputation that extends far beyond his homeland. His courage in the face of adversaries, his unwavering loyalty to his companions, and his adherence to a prophecy which sees him never returning to Iceland reflect a firm belief in predestination or weird, a core concept in the Norse belief system. The saga is imbued with elements of Asatru, the Old Norse religion. While there are no explicit references to the gods or religious practices, the strong undertones of fate, honor, bravery, and the berserker state entered by some characters reflect the warrior cult associated with Odin, the chief of the Aesir in Norse mythology. Hrani Ring's saga serves not only as an engaging narrative, but also a reflection of the Norse worldview. It underlines the brevity and often harsh nature of life, while asserting that it is honor and reputation that truly endure. Whether you're an enthusiast of Norse mythology, a lover of sagas, or a newcomer to the genre, Hrani Ring's saga promises to offer a modernized rendition of the valorous past that continues to resonate in the present. So brace yourself for an unforgettable journey into the heart of the Norse spirit. Chapter 1. About Núpabardr and his sons. A man named Bardr, son of the Lord Hyangus Bjarnar from Son, travelled to Iceland during the times of land settlement and claimed all of Bardadal, from Kalfborgara to Svarta. He lived at Lundabrekku. His sons were Thorstein, Sigmundr, Nefstein, and Egil. Bardr wasn't pleased with the valley and didn't settle permanently. One spring, he sent his sons south across the moors to scout the weather conditions. They returned after half a month, speaking highly of the land, abundant in wheat and other crops. The next spring, Bardr moved south through Vonarskard, now known as Bardagata. He later settled in Fljótsverfi, living at Nanupi, hence called Gnupabardr. However, Egil, Bardr's son, stayed at Lundabrekku. He married Salgerdi, the daughter of Thoris Sneppils from Lundi. Their son was Hrani Ring, named so because he had a red ring on his left cheek. Hrani quickly matured into a formidable man. By Chapter 2, Arrival of Helgi Krokar and Land Settlement. A man named Helgi Krokar, son of Godlaugs Askjason from Sorn, sailed from the South Islands to Iceland and docked his ship at Skjelfandafljotsos. He was related to Agli at Lundabrekku and Thorstein in Reykjalid. Helgi visited Agli at Lundabrekku and stayed there for a while. One day he spoke with Egil about settling in the valley, but Bardadal was already inhabited. Egil said, "I've thought about settling here in the valley. The land is very suitable for habitation. You can claim all the land between Skjelfandafljots and Mjoadalsa up to Sanda." After this, Egil and Helgi Krokar surveyed the land and named it Krokstal alongside the river. Helgi built a homestead in Krokstal and named it Helgastadi. He was married to a woman named Halveig. Hrani Ring and Helgi Krokar were great friends, with Hrani often visiting Helgi. Helgi gave him many valuable gifts, including a top-notch sword, and so life continued with no notable events. Chapter 3. Hrani avenges Vaka and kills Sigfus. One fall, it was time to search for their livestock in the mountains. Helgi's shepherd, Vaka, went with others, including Hrani, to locate the animals. They journeyed alongside Mývetningr residence. At that time, Gauti lived in Gautlandi, where a notorious villain, Sigfus, caused many issues. Sigfus also joined the livestock search with Mývetningr. Vaka and Sigfus met and pursued a flock of sheep, eventually cornering them near a gorge. They sorted the sheep, which belonged to Helgi Krokar. Among them was one larger sheep owned by Vaka. Sigfus claimed the sheep and said he deserved it for his troubles. Vaka refused to give up his sheep. They argued until Sigfus, in anger, struck Vaka with his axe, killing him instantly. At this moment, Hrani and his companions arrived and saw Vaka's dead body. Hrani asked Sigfus why he had killed Vaka, and Sigfus explained their dispute. Hrani said, "Your cruelty and evil acts are known far and wide, and now I will avenge Vaka's death." Sigfus retorted, "I won't back down from you," and charged at Hrani, swinging his axe. But Hrani raised his shield in defense. The axe blow struck his knee, causing a severe wound. In response, Hrani swung the sword given by Helgi, severing Sigfus' shoulder from his body. Sigfus fell to the ground, dead. This act caused a major uproar between the Mývetningr and Hrani. They buried Sigfus, and afterwards everyone returned to their homes with the livestock they had found. Chapter 4. Order of Gautland heals Hrani. Now, Hrani rode to Lake Mývatn to meet his cousin Thorstein in Reykjalid. Thorstein welcomed him warmly and asked about recent events. Hrani relayed the circumstances of the killings and asked for his assistance. Hrani showed Thorstein his wound and said he'd heard that Gauti's wife in Gautland was an exceptional healer. I would like you to accompany me there and negotiate a peace agreement with Gauti on my behalf over Sigfus's death. Thorstein replied, Certainly, cousin, I'll talk to him about reaching a settlement. He's a friend and a decent guy, especially if approached in the right way. After this, they both rode to Gautland and found Gauti in his outer hut. He greeted Thorstein warmly and asked for news. Thorstein said, I've got business with you, Gauti. I regret to inform you that Sigfus, your housekeeper, was killed by my cousin Hrani. Thorstein recounted their dispute and expressed his wish to broker a truce between Gauti and Hrani. He then presented a ring of gold and asked Gauti to accept it. Gauti admired the ring, accepted it, and said, This is a bad turn of events. Even though Sigfus wasn't well liked by many, he was loyal to me. But because of our friendship, I won't seek any retaliation for his death. They thanked him for his words, and Hrani showed Gauti his wound, stating that he had heard Audr, his wife, was an excellent healer. I would like to stay with you for a while, he said, while she tends to my wound. Gauti agreed, and Hrani stayed, while Thorstein returned home to Reykjalid. Audr examined the wound, which was severe. He stayed there for 2 months until he was nearly healed and then returned to his father's home. For the moment, no further significant events occurred. Chapter 5. Hroaldr challenges Gauti and falls to Hrani. A man named Hroaldr, also known as Gauti, lived in Torfastadir in Vopnafjordr. He was Sigfus's brother, the one killed by Hrani, known for his bad temper and tricky dealings. Upon hearing about his brother's death, he was deeply upset and vowed revenge. Accompanied by 6 men, he travelled over the mountain to Lake Mývatn, which was during the summer following Sigfus's death. They arrived late in the day at Gautland, where Gauti was in his courtyard with 3 servants. Gauti greeted Hroaldr and offered to host them for the night. Hroaldr accepted, saying, I have business with you. Is Sigfus my brother here? Gauti replied, He's not here, then explained the whole situation to Hroaldr and offered him compensation for Sigfus's death on behalf of Hrani. However, Gauti declined the offer, seeking nothing less than Hrani's life. I would like you to lead me to Hrani and support me in avenging my brother. Gauti responded, I'll never support you in harming Hrani. I still offer compensation for him. Otherwise, I'll side with him. Gauti retorted, You handle Sigfus's matter poorly. He served you well and loyally, but now you want to repay that with nothing of value. It's fitting that you should suffer some consequence. Gauti then raised his axe and swung at Gauti, but Gauti dodged, and the blow missed. Gauti grabbed a spear and threw it at Gauti, who blocked it with his shield, unharmed. The fight escalated, with Hroaldr attacking aggressively until Gauti and one of his servants were killed. The remaining 2 servants were captured by Gauti, who promised them rewards if they guided him to Lundabrekka. They agreed, and Gauti sent one ahead to scout whether Hrani was there. The servant returned with the news that Hrani was not home, having gone out with Helgi Krok for a while. Now Gauti and his men, now 9 in total, followed the servant's directions, crossing the Skjalfandafljot River at Hrafnabjörg, riding through Kroksdal until they saw a group of log huts where they noticed 3 men. One seemed particularly bold and approached Hroaldr, asking his name. Gauti gave it truthfully and inquired about the man's name in return. The man introduced himself as Hrani, son of Egil from Lundabrekka. Gauti said, It's fortunate we meet here. I am Sigfus's brother, whom you killed last summer. I have come to avenge him. I have already killed Gauti and one of his servants. 2 others guide me here to you, and you'll meet the same fate as him. Hrani replied, You have a right to seek revenge, but it seems like you're calling your own death. Since you came to me with such intention, you should tell me what happened between you and Gauti before we fight. Gauti related the true account and then taunted, If you're anything more than a coward, avenge him now. Hrani responded, We both will try our luck, but let our men watch, as the odds are uneven. Gauti retorted, I'll make use of my men, and you seem pretty timid. I've got a feeling you're a goner. Well, we'll see, replied Hrani. You seem rather inept picking a fight with me. I won't be the one running away. At his side, Hrani had his sword, Helganaut, and his shield. The first action in the encounter was Gauti spearing one of Hrani's men, instantly killing him. Hrani commented, That man was innocent to you, and you just stooped so low. I doubt you can face me. Gauti replied, You'll follow the same path as your man. In the midst of this, he lunged at Hrani, striking his shield with the spear, but Hrani deflected it without injury. Then Hrani counterattacked, splitting Gauti's shield and injuring his leg. This prompted Gauti to urge his men to attack Hrani. They charged aggressively, but Hrani killed 4 of them, forcing Gauti to retreat. Then Hrani taunted, You're not getting closer to avenging your brother if you think you can do it like this. It's not honorable to push others while keeping your own skin safe. Gauti then urged his men, Let's all charge at him together. We can't let it be said that we were scared off by just one man. Hrani's remaining companion fell, leaving only Hroalda, who rushed at Hrani, aiming for his shield. The blow did minimal damage to the shield and left Hrani unharmed. In response, Hrani struck back, causing Galti to dodge. In this moment, one of Galti's followers, Kari, attacked Hrani, knocking his sword out of his hand, though Hrani remained unharmed. Hrani, being quick and skillful, quickly recovered his sword and cut off Kari's arm, causing him to fall. The rest of Galti's men all attacked Hrani at once, but he defended himself valiantly, killing two more of them. In the ensuing chaos, he struck at Galti, cleaving him from head to shoulder, leaving him dead. The one remaining man, Galti's other servant mentioned before, begged Hrani for mercy. Exhausted but barely wounded, Hrani took a moment to rest and then asked the servant about the circumstances surrounding Gauti's death. Chapter 6. Hrani's Encounter with the Troll Woman, Nipa. Not long after, Helgi the Hook shows up with four men. He had heard from a shepherd that Hrani could use some help. The men were glad to see each other, and they agreed that in those times there was hardly a man nearby who could match Hrani's strength and agility. Kari was still alive, though barely, so Hrani beheaded him. They buried Hroalda, Galti, and his men in a mound that has since been called Galtahol, and then they returned home to Helgastadir with their war trophies. The news of their deeds spread far and wide. It was noted that there was no backlash over Galti's death, since he had no close relatives and was highly unpopular. Hrani stayed with Helgi for a while, and nothing noteworthy happened. Helgi was a hard-working man with a substantial farm and numerous livestock. His homestead was east of Skjelfandafljot. One summer, a shepherd didn't return home one morning, and so a day and a night passed. Helgi's women informed him that the shepherd was nowhere to be seen, even though all the livestock had returned. Puzzled by this, Helgi sent two men to search for the shepherd. They searched for 3 days, but found no trace of him. The search was abandoned, and another shepherd was appointed to tend the flock. Half a month later, this second shepherd also disappeared. Despite a thorough search, he was no more found than the first one. This baffled Helgi greatly, and people started to suspect a troll was at work. No one volunteered to take on the shepherding job, and that's when Hrani stepped up. Hrani took on the shepherd's duties, and about a week went by without any unusual happenings. One evening he drove the livestock far up the valley and sat down where he finished herding. He was suddenly overcome by a strong urge to sleep. He felt it was somewhat strange, so he shook it off, stood up, and looked around. That's when he saw the flock coming back in a frenzy. Hrani, feeling weak, managed to catch a glimpse of a monstrous creature chasing the flock. It was coming closer quickly. The creature turned out to be a hideous troll woman. She trudged along with heavy steps and loud noises. When she reached where Hrani was, she halted and said, "Hello, Hrani Ring. Wait for me." Ring said, "I guess so, but what's your name? Where do you live?" She replied, "That's not really your business. My name's Nipa, and I have two sisters. We work for our father. I'm the oldest. Our mother's dead. We live in Fljotsdal, not too far from here. We've been here for 12 years, and people have been missing livestock and horses come fall. I've already taken two of Helgi the Hook's shepherds, and now I'm planning to add you to my morning snack. But my father has been having bad dreams about you, and I think it means he doesn't have much time left." With that, she lunged at Hrani, who managed to grab her around the waist. She squeezed his arms and stomach so hard he was almost powerless. He held her off for a while, but she tried to pin him down. They wrestled around for a bit until they ended up next to a large stone. Hrani felt she was trying to push him onto the stone. When she lunged at him, he pushed back so hard that her grip loosened, and she ended up against the stone. He took this opportunity to push her back onto the stone, breaking her back. She said, "Just as my mother predicted, one man would kill us all. You've bested me, and you'll have bragging rights." Hrani didn't want to hear any more of her taunts, but couldn't stop her, as she was still holding him so tight that he could barely move. He struggled until he managed to break free. In the scuffle, she'd torn off his clothes. He ran to where his sword was lying, the one he'd lost during their struggle. He grabbed it and beheaded her. When her head was severed, it gasped at Hrani, releasing a stench that knocked him unconscious. After a little while, he woke up feeling quite stiff. He made his way back to the cabin and laid down. Chapter 7. Hrani's Return Home. In the morning, the farmhand women see the livestock in the pasture and Hrani resting. They assume he stayed up watching the animals overnight and came home early before dawn. He sleeps until noon and then gets up. They notice his clothes are torn in many places. He gets a horse nearby and rides home to Helgastadir, where he finds Helgi. The farmer welcomes him warmly and asks about any news. Hrani recounts everything that happened between him and Nipa. Helgi appreciates the news and thanks Hrani profusely for his bravery. Hrani shows him how his clothes were ripped and his body is bruised, battered, and lumpy from the scuffle. As before, nobody wants to shepherd at Kroxeli. The shelter is left abandoned. For a while there's no more news. but in the fall people go into the mountains for a livestock hunt. Hrani is among them. Chapter 8. Hrani and his companions fight the trolls. A man named Solvi lived in Storuvelje Bardardalur. He had a son named Einar, the strongest young man in the area. Another man, Hoskuldur the Lame, resided in Hofgardar Rangadalur. His son was Gesta, a large and strong man comparable to Einar in strength and maturity. They got along well. Gesta also joined the livestock hunt. Hrani, Einar, and Gesta set off together, planning to travel through Fljotsdal. As they move along, they encounter a thick fog followed by a heavy snowstorm that impairs their visibility. Hrani tells his companions, "We should stay put and wait it out." Following his suggestion, they pile up enough rocks to form a shelter and settle down. Not long after, Einar looks outside to find the storm slightly abating. He spots two enormous she-trolls charging towards their shelter. He alerts Hrani and Gesta, and all three rush out. As they do, one troll attacks Hrani, while the other targets Einar. Hrani and his troll wrestle for a while. He realizes she's significantly stronger, but he tricks her into a grapple, making her fall with him on top. He struggles to restrain her, but finally manages to pull a knife from his belt, slitting her throat. Blood sprays on him as she clings onto him. He finally breaks free, stands up, and sees that the other troll has overpowered both his companions. Hrani grabs her jaw, knees her back, and breaks her spine. But as she dies, she releases a vile gas that makes him pass out. Meanwhile, Einar gets free, grabs Hrani's sword, and beheads the troll, but not before she bites Gesta's throat, killing him. Einar then checks on Hrani, who regains consciousness but is in pain. Einar fetches water for him, and slowly Hrani recovers. The storm clears, and good weather returns. They spend the night there, and the next day they bury Gesta and the trolls in separate locations, which are later named Skesudisjar, she-troll's burials. After their ordeal, they go in search of the cave. Eventually, they come across a ravine with a large and difficult-to-reach cliff. Underneath the cliff, they notice a dark area. They climb and wade towards it, finding a door half ajar. They walk into the cave and further in, only to find another door with an iron gate. They hear a loud, unfamiliar noise. Despite their efforts, they can't get past the gate. They decide to forcefully push against it together, and it gives way. The cave is somewhat lit because of an east-facing window in the rock. A large and menacing man wakes up. He questions, "What is this noise? I would have expected guests, but not in my cave. I've had bad dreams today. Did your journey go well? Have you brought me Hrani's head?" They conclude that the man must be blind. Hrani rushes in, thrusts his sword through the man's hand, piercing him. The man reacts quickly, lunging forward, while Hrani dodges. The man thrashes around, causing the entire cave to shake and things to fall out of place. Eventually, he dies. Einar enters and they explore the cave. They find many treasures in gold and silver. They carry out as much as they can manage. Their departure from the cave is not easy, and they end up staying near the cave overnight. The next day, they head back with their spoils. They don't encounter any living creatures on their way back and finally arrive home. They tell Helga and others about their journey. Everyone admires their bravery, particularly Hrani's. People noticed that a lot of wealth was missing that fall, and everyone assumed these trolls had taken it, even though the foster brothers hadn't realized it. The winter passed uneventfully. Chapter 9. Hrani's Dream. As spring approached, Hrani felt the desire to explore further, to acquaint himself with other lands, leaders, and cultures. One morning before dawn, while everyone else was still asleep, he had a dream. He found himself outside at Helgastadir. He saw an elderly man, yet handsome, on the field. He greeted the man and asked his name. The stranger graciously returned his greeting, introduced himself as Thorir, and said, "Unasked, I know you. You're Hrani, my grandson. You aim to bring honor to your lineage through your manners and actions, don't you? What brave and praiseworthy deeds are you up to? It wouldn't be surprising if you're eager to venture into other lands and try your luck there. Who knows what awaits you or what fame you can achieve?" And then Thorir recited a verse. "You shall thrive, now go, don't dally, to the battlegrounds rally, from the peak where Fjorgin lingers, to the refuge of seafarers. Herte, its tough ropes you twine, in battle you do shine. Bring down glory's forest tall upon the jawbones of warriors all. You, the Rin's shining boar, have quelled ill-willed beings of lore, caught the monster in your web, silencing its threatening ebb. In a storm swift and bracing, Hrani's might Vikings are facing, the god of fetters' fierce dance lessens greatly the ocean's expanse." With those words, Thorir disappeared. Hrani woke up, remembering the verses. He told Helga about his dream. Helga said, "It's highly likely that your future will unfold as he indicated in the dream. You should let your father know about this." Hrani agreed to do so, and that's where their conversation ended for the time being. Chapter 10. Hrani and Einar prepare for their journey. Shortly after this, Hrani rides to Lundabrekka and meets with his father, Egil. He shares his plans for the journey, his dream, and the prophecy from his grandfather about his future, then asks, "What do you suggest, Dad?" Egil responds similarly to Helgi, "I think it's a good idea, and it'd be a bit strange to prevent you from doing something your grandpa predicted. His words indicate he wished well for you and saw good fortune ahead. I'd recommend you invite Einar Solvason along. Both of you are talented and capable. Traveling together would be safer than going alone among strangers, no matter what comes your way. My hunch, though, is that neither I nor Sulvi will see you two again. You probably won't return to Iceland. I want to give you a generous traveling fund. Consider it an early inheritance from your mother, just in case you don't come back." Hrani, pleased with his father's approval and generosity, thanked him warmly. After their talk, Hrani first seeks out Einar, sharing his plans and his father's suggestions. Einar agrees to join the adventure. Hrani returns to Helgastadir and tells Helgi everything. Their plans, his father's prophecy, and the fact that neither he nor Einar are expected to return. Helgi responds, "Egil and I think alike then. I'll miss you. You've been a good companion, and there aren't many around here like you and Einar in courage and skill. However, I can't stand in your way, especially if this journey might lead to more fame and wealth for you, as it has for others." Hrani says, "You're being very understanding about this," and that concludes their conversation. Chapter 11. Hrani and Einar set sail with Kaupa Raud. There was a man named Raud, a southerner who often went on trading voyages carrying goods from various lands. For this reason, he was known as Kaupa Raud, or Trading Raud. He arrived early that summer in Skjalfandi Bay. Another ship arrived almost at the same time in Eyjafjord. When the locals heard about the arrival of the ships, they all made their way from nearby districts to meet the traders. On both sides of the Skjalfandafljot River, people were more eager to meet Raud, the trader, than the others who came from within, because Raud had a better reputation for his goods. Hrani and Einar, along with others, met with Raud. They quickly decided to sail with him, as they found him wise and agreeable, even though most of his crew were somewhat different and not so amicable. Egil, as promised, prepared his son for the journey, providing him with ample travel funds and various valuable items. He didn't have to worry about running short of spending silver. Egil and Helgi accompanied Hrani and Einar to the ship, bidding them farewell with many heartfelt good wishes. Chapter 12. Raud and his crew arrive in the South Isles. Not long after Raud had finished his trading and was ready to depart, the wind blew favourably for their journey, and they set sail. However, it didn't take long for their favourable wind to start dwindling. They journeyed eastward slowly, their stay at sea extended and tough. The Icelanders demonstrated great ability in these challenging conditions. Seeing Hrani and Einar's superiority, and that not many of the southerners could match their strength and stamina, envy began to grow among the crew. The fact that the two of them always stuck together, never separating, and had the favourable attention of Raud, meant the crew could never take advantage of them, be it in physical confrontations or other significant incidents. On one occasion, when Raud overheard his crew's bitter words about the two Icelanders, he spoke up, "This will be the first and the last time I travel to Iceland and have Icelanders on board with me. Therefore, I ask you, my crew, to be less hostile towards these men, especially since they've shown nothing but cooperation and wisdom since joining us. I believe you are setting both me and them up against each other." After this, the crew's bitter comments reduced considerably. As winter approached in the late autumn, they arrived in the South Isles. The trader was warmly welcomed home, and some suggested that it was time for the southerner crew and the Icelanders to part ways. Chapter 13. Concerning Sini, Olrun, and the Foster Brothers. Our story continues with the Foster Brothers, Hrani and Einar, who spent the winter with a man named Hogner, also known as Hanef. His wife, Gertrud, was a warm and welcoming hostess. The brothers were easygoing and friendly, which endeared them to everyone. Hogner and Gertrud had a daughter, Signy, who was nearly of marrying age. Signy was beautiful, with radiant hair and complexion outshining all other girls around. She was affectionately nicknamed Brightbrow. It didn't take long for Hrani to develop a soft spot for her, and she responded to his affections kindly and warmly. In the same household lived two sisters-in-law, Sunnefa, the older, and Olrun, a newlywed. Olrun was a close second to Signy in terms of beauty and charm, and it was clear why the old sayings praised the beauty of English women like her. Their father, Gorter the Great-Handed, and their husbands remained back in England. That summer, when the Foster brothers arrived in the South Isles in autumn, a notorious Viking named Grim, also known as Iron Man, raided a coastal area in England. On arriving at Gorter the Great-Handed's homestead, he encountered little resistance, as most men of the house were away. The sisters-in-law, left with a few men, had to flee when they saw Grimm. Grimm and his men took the women and all valuable items they desired, along with other loot from the neighbouring areas. Now Grimm sailed off with his spoils. However, as they neared the South Isles intending to repeat their onslaught, they were met by warriors on three ships. The captured women had only one name to tell, Eystein the Hard Worker, their leader. A battle ensued, and Grimm and his crew fell. Legend said Grimm was bewitched to be invulnerable to iron. Eystein and his men rescued the women and seized a great deal of loot. The women, though traumatized, were treated kindly by the warriors who put them ashore on the South Isles, along with some belongings. The sisters-in-law found refuge with Hogner and Gertrud. Einar fell deeply in love with Olrun, and the foster brothers found themselves spending most of their time with these women. They were well liked by everyone, and so the time passed until the arrival of summer. Chapter 14, Concerning the Deeds of Hrani and Einar. Our story introduces two brothers, Arnhofdi and Hildir, infamous Vikings and troublemakers known for going berserk. They terrorize coastal areas and islands, taking lives and possessions at their whim. Each of them commanded a ship, and by the beginning of summer, they made their way to the South Isles. At that time, Kalpa Raud, a reputable merchant, was preparing to set sail and had invited the foster brothers, Hrani and Einar, and many locals to a feast at his home. The islanders saw the brothers' ships approaching and anchoring near Raud's vessel, creating an unsettling atmosphere. News of the arrival of the berserk brothers spread through the drinking hall, causing a hush to fall over the crowd, except for Hrani and Einar. Hrani broke the silence, saying, "Einar, we have incoming," to which Einar replied, "If you're heading out to confront them, I won't sit here idle. I wish the men of the nearby islands would muster some courage and join us, if needed." People went out to see what was happening in the harbour, and things were as they'd heard. Hrani and Einar promptly rallied men from the nearby settlements. The Vikings were soon at the place where Kalpa Raud and his guests were. The group hadn't noticed the gathering of men until they reached the yard where everyone stood. Among them were Kalpa Raud, two men from Bardale, and 18 others. The two Icelanders were the most formidable among them. With Raud there was always a man named Thord, an extraordinary archer, unmatched in skill, earning him the nickname Dalthord. Several others had learned from him, but none could equal his prowess. As the berserkers approached and saw the fully armed group on the other side of the yard, Arnhofdi taunted, "Are the little mice scared? Why do you stand here huddled, islanders? My brother Hildir and I, Arnhofdi, have come to visit you at home, Kalpa Raud. You're quite the catch, and we assume you'll welcome your guests graciously." "So I'll greet you as you seek me," retorted Raud. "You'll be selling your goods immediately today," threatened Hildir. "I'll dispense outside what's stored inside," replied Raud. "We brothers aren't lacking," bragged Arnhofdi. "I have a sword in my hand called Grass Eater, and Hildir, my brother, wields Sleep." The brothers began to bellow savagely, making a spectacle. Hrani and Einar then stepped forward, walking the whole yard towards the brothers. "We can exchange men, even if we speak lower," said Hrani. Arnhofdi turned to him, while Hildir faced Einar. Arnhofdi struck at Hrani's shield, but it didn't take. Hrani struck back, splitting Arnhofdi's shield. The second time Arnhofdi struck, he took off a third of Hrani's shield, but Hrani wasn't injured. Hrani struck back a second time. His blow landed on the Viking's shoulder, running down the right side with the forearm, and there was nothing more to say about him. But the fight between Einar and Hildir went like this. Hildir struck Einar's shield, splitting it at the first stroke. Einar struck back at Hildir, shaving a bit off his shield. The berserker struck back at him, but Einar dodged. The tip grazed his thigh, slightly wounding him, and the sword sank into the field. Hildir, overextended from the monstrous blow, was caught off balance. In that moment, Einar struck his neck, beheading him, and like the other, he too was out of the story. Meanwhile, as these duels unfolded, the islanders faced the others, and soon the battle engaged. Dalthord and other archers shot many a rogue to their doom, but once Hrani and Einar had toppled the brothers, they became powerful and very effective against those remaining, quickly tipping the scales in their favour. When those left on the ships, who were both numerous and stubborn, came ashore and attacked the islanders, the Icelanders bravely and valiantly stood their ground. The archers did not hold back their arrows. The battle flared anew. The other islanders started to get hurt and fall. Their attack waned, but Hrani and Einar slew the shipmen until only four remained, who wanted to flee to the ship. The brothers denied them that until none remained standing. The day was then drawing to a close. The battle had raged from just before midday. All those who had come had fallen, 28 in total and 7 from the islanders. Little is mentioned about Raud the merchant's actions, for he wasn't a man for fighting. The brothers were not severely wounded, but were extremely tired and worn out. The men then went to sleep for the night. Early in the morning, they went aboard the brothers' ship and found abundant plunder in gold and silver, treasures and luxurious clothes, while others tended to the fallen. Now, Kaupa Raud and Hogni Honeynose proposed that the brothers should have the largest share of the spoils, followed by the three others who had shown the best support, and so it was. Everyone now greatly praised the Icelanders' courage, saying that all men's wealth and lives would have been lost to the Vikings had they not performed so well. Now the men from Bard were merry, and drank joyfully after all this wealth gain. Hrani now recited his grandfather's prophetic verse that had come to him in dreams of old. You shall thrive, now go, don't dally, to the battleground's rally, from the peak where Fjorgin lingers, to the refuge of seafarers. Herte, its tough ropes you twine, in battle you do shine. Bring down glory's forest tall upon the jawbones of warriors all. You, the Rin's shining boar, have quelled ill-willed beings of lore, caught the monster in your web, silencing its threatening ebb. In a storm swift and bracing, Hrani's might Vikings are facing, the god of fetters' fierce dance lessens greatly the ocean's expanse. Chapter 15. Hrani establishes himself in the isles. A few days after this, Raud set sail, but the next day a ship arrived at the islands. It was the English coming to reclaim their women, for they had heard that they were safe and alive in the southern isles. Then Einar went to England with them, and here ends the tale about him. As for Hrani, it is to be said that Signy loved him the more she saw him achieving greater fame than others. He had it in mind to sail to other lands to become more widely known, but she dissuaded him, saying she could not bear to be apart from him. There are two other things, she said. Neither will you earn more fame elsewhere than here, and you are also needed in this community. He then yielded to her counsel, and that summer he married her. Their life together was good and long. He was a very popular man and wealthy, the older he grew and the more he accomplished. Whenever the Vikings arrived, he was always at the forefront of the fight to repel them. He also gained significant support from two shipwrecked men whom he had once helped near the islands, named Bjorn Broadbeard and Thorir Slim, both Icelanders. They followed Hrani all their lives after that. He had rescued them from their shipwreck. Hrani never returned to Iceland, just as his father had prophesied. He and Sinni had a daughter. Her name was Halveig. They had no more children that people definitely know of. Hrani passed away in his sickbed when he had grown old. He had fought seven battles in the Isles, not counting the one in which he killed Galt and his slaves, before he set sail. And here ends the story of Hrani Ring, son of Egil.